Okay, we're calling the Airport Committee meeting to order, and it's September 13th, 2022. And first of all, we'll do roll call. I'm Ralph Busby, apparently filling in for Jeff Bertolite, who's not here. Cindy?
Cynthia Jacoby, City Liaison.
Mark Watkins.
Dan McCray.
Jim Shaw.
Lance Vanderbeck, City Staff.
Okay, and we have no audience members today, so first thing on the agenda is the minutes, and I understand the minutes are not usable as is and will be reviewed and published later, so I think we can just skip over that unless you have something you want to add to that.
No, I do have a question, though, for the committee. One of the items that did come up when reviewing the minutes was, for instance, when Jeff Bertolite is not here, who's the chair, what should the title be of the person filling in for him? Is that sub-chair?
King? Is that
vice chair?
Well, because there's no vice chair, but I just, was there a certain title that
I don't
chair ex officio or something?
In the event there's some money attached, I think it would be a significant discussion, but in the case that there isn't, which in fact there isn't, I think we can just forego and worrying about that.
Or just call him acting chair.
That's good to me.
Okay, so that makes me acting chair. I'm sure my pay stub will reflect that. Okay, so the next thing on there is a staff report on the residential hangar permitting. I think we've all read it and understand what it says. So I don't think we need to read it here. It's available to review if anyone wants to look at it. No comments. Bottom line is it wasn't doable as stated. Not a surprise. So. All right, let's go on to the operations report, Lance.
All right, for those of you listening at home, the operations report for August 2022. I was selected to do jury duty this month, or the month of August, I should say. I was called twice and served on one jury trial. It was actually very cool to be on that aspect as somebody in the jury and not on trial. So do your civic duty and be on the jury. So City Engineering Department met with Aaron Collette, the city engineer, Claire Paul, the assistant city engineer, and two staff from Public Works to discuss water meters at the South Hangar. The discussion on water meters for the hangars were water lines, where they run, the storm drain, and septic, and basically how they can get, I guess, a better design and layout of where everything is at.
So Lance, question on that before you go on. Is the city going to run the water lines to what point up there, and to what point do the hangar owners have to take over responsibility?
That was something that the engineering department was discussing. Right now, I think they're leaving it as, you know, they're operating it as they would in the city. If the individual hangar wants water, then they would have to put a meter in, of course. And I think that's where they're leaving it for now, was my understanding, unless Aaron gets me back any type of other report on that.
But they'd run it up to the hangar, and the meter would be at the hangar, and it would run it up to that point.
That I'm not sure if they run it up to the hangar, that because I know that there's water on the three different spouts basically, and they kind of stop, you know, like right before the T hangar, right after the other two. But I don't know if they're going to continue to run that pipe, or if that would be the hangar owner's responsibility to run that pipe and then put the meter on.
Oh, you asked the question I was going to ask.
Okay.
You were faster than me.
Well, thank you.
So essentially, Lance, it would be the hangar owner's option as far how if he didn't want to go down three rows to stub in a hose to use water, if you wanted his hangar plumbed, it would be an optional expense for the hangar owner.
That's my understanding. What I got out of the meeting that I had, it was a very brief meeting. Again, there's no like more information on it and think they were just doing an overview of the lines where they're at and how they kind of wanted to operate that should a hangar owner want to get water meter or have their hangar metered, I guess.
Just to kind of add to that, I don't think that if you're like Mr. Lister, I don't know that he could run that water line across all those other lots and down all that by himself. So I think that it would be up to, you know, the city or whoever to put the water line in at least to some point where he could tie into it, don't you think?
Something I can talk with the engineering department and ask that specific question if a, you know, a hangar owner down the row wants water, but none of the, you know, what are the steps that would be involved with that and whose responsibility that would be, so. All right, moving on, the yellow double wide, Public Works had to camera the septic line running from the yellow double wide building over to where the FBO septic tank is. They did find that that line, there's a lateral line going into it, and that lateral line is pushed now into the septic line to that building, causing backups in the building. So they're gonna have to figure out a fix for that issue. Public Works was up looking at that. I haven't heard anything else on how or what or when that particular fix might come into play. Excuse me. The Oregon Airport Managers Association, August 10th, the OAMA board meeting agenda included the fall conference, updated registration, sponsorships, and review of the draft agenda for the fall conference in October. Project Stamper received an email from Spencer Niebel, city manager, about a California-based company looking for airport property with a 600,000 square foot building to develop their all-electric vertical takeoff and landing eVolt aircraft. And the long and short is that, of course, we don't have a 600,000 square foot building up at the airport, and they also wanted to do a 100 acres at the minimum, and we just don't have the land for that. There'd be a lot of investment have to be into that. The crew car, the city administration requested a price comparison for the style of the car Power was offering the city for a replacement crew car. City administration staff also brought up an issue with advertising on the side of the crew car and it being a single business in Newport. I have not had a time to look into the price comparison and address the advertising concerns as of yet. World Fuel waiting to receive a letter from World Fuel for commitment to help with the FMU with how much money they want to or going to be able to supply for that. And then I asked about a jet truck as well in the new contract terms. Something that we really need to start considering is replacement of that jet truck. It's starting to rust out in spots that just aren't going to be fixable anytime soon. I know that's a city-owned rig with advertising for Phillips on the side of it under a contract, but we'll have to see the letter once we get it and then go from there.
Did you get any prices on a FMU? Any rough estimates at all?
So the rough estimate on the FMU, the amount of money that World Fuel is looking at providing would cover the cost of the FMU, but not the installation. So $15,000 is what they said, but I don't have anything in writing. That's all verbal. That's why I want the written confirmation for that before we start delving into, you know, setting up a new stand area for an FMU that we potentially may not get through their funding. So that's why I'm waiting for that to make sure that we have that funding and the FMU type before we start messing with stuff over there. So the AIP 32 design and obstruction removal, the grant was approved by City Council. Thank you so much, City Council.
Welcome.
We appreciate it. The FAA will be drafting an agreement and emailing it to city administration for signatures. The approval amount for the funding was $150,000 for the design phase for the obstruction removal. We do have also verbal confirmation that there is still $900,000 set aside by the FAA for the second phase of that, which would be the actual removal part of the trees. So they can figure how many will be able to get to. So that report will be coming to the committee as soon as I get it. Next on the 163 letter, worked with PAE to draft, and we did submit a 163 letter to review by the FAA for the McWatkins leased area out front. Operations equipment, Len Benton Tractor is waiting to hear from Land Pride on the construction progress and the potential ship date of the replacement 20-foot mower deck. They had told me September. It looks like it might be rolled back to October, so still waiting to hear back from Len Benton on that. LifeFlight, we had a conference call with city administration and LifeFlight to discuss the LifeFlight's long-term goals at Newport. We did get verbal confirmation that they are in Newport for the long haul, and we did talk to them about potentially building up at the airport, but that's something that I'm sure would be like a year or so out once they get more movement on that.
But they are interested. You know, at one point they said they were interested in the north end, and are they're still thinking that way, and are they still talking about maybe putting a fixed wing here?
They are still potentially looking at putting a fixed wing here eventually, but with the administration rotation that they had recently, that's kind of stuff that keeps being pushed to the back. But we did have that conversation with them. And I think when Spencer gets back, we'll look a little bit further into what type of confirmation we should be getting out of LifeFlight for what they maybe want to do down the road. Yes.
Yeah. What type of building might they be building if they do, like now the LifeFlight helicopter goes into something that's already there? I don't know what
that's
to call the building.
Hangar?
Mm-hmm. But they would be doing something totally separate.
Yeah, they would be looking at leasing and building a separate hangar, and then it would have to be including crew quarters. So that would be an interesting thing that would have to be worked out through permitting, obviously, because I don't know if that could all be in one building or if that would be two separate buildings or what that might look like, but definitely would have to delve into that further through the permitting process once LifeFlight has submitted something.
Lance, you know the first term of their leases expired?
The first term is a month to month.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it'd be nice to sign a longer term commitment out of them. And I just hope that this committee is a little bit more involved in that process than they were the first time when LifeFlight showed up. So it would be nice, instead of a month to month, to have a long term lease projection and goal with them, because they're very important, you know, to the community.
Well, that is definitely something that we also did ask, was if they looking at, like, when we can get a timeline for the building and then potentially working on a new lease that would have that timeline in there. So that definitely would come before the committee for consideration once that lease is looking at being renewed or redone.
And you're talking about the lease to lease the building they're currently in, not the new building.
Right, to lease the building they're currently in until they're ready to build. We want to work those timelines into that contract so that they know that they have, you know, X amount of time in that building to get something leased and built. All right. So then just how we ended up on the month, we had 660 total aircraft logged aircraft operations, pumped 10,640 gallons of fuel. And you can see on the fiscal year that puts us up at 20,983. For Jet A, that we're at 16,872. And at Avgas, we're at 4,111. For the new chart that I put in for the packet, the average gallons sold per landing right now is equaling 32.9 gallons per landing. And again, that's not total aircraft operation. That's every plane that flies in. That's how I divide that out. So rental cars, we did 75 rental cars for the month of August, which is up from the previous month and the previous year. putting us at 371. The courtesy cars loaned out, we did 33, which is a little bit down from the previous month and down from the previous year. We're at 245. And then I have added in the local prices for fuel averages in our local catchment area for Jet A and for 100 low lead. And then added some great pictures that, thanks to Dave Zemanski, got from from August. So that's all I have for the operations report.
Yes, we do. Lance, this might be a self-serving question, but with auto gas coming down a little bit, when can we expect 100 low lead to move down in kind of the same direction?
Well, I'll give you a better answer next week. The latest price list that came out for purchase, it went up by 50 cents. I'm hoping that it's one of those fluke weeks with inflation report coming out. But we were able to look at, I'm pretty sure we lowered those prices a little bit. Hold on a second.
You have lowered it once here about a month ago. I just flew halfway across the United States and back, and I averaged about $6.70, I think, something like that, a gallon, and that was stopping all at large major airports.
$6.70?
I don't remember the exact number, but it was something like that. $6.60 something, maybe.
Yeah, so right now the average local is at 736 for the average for 100 low lead, which means that we're still at 730, and that would give the prepaid fuel card discount down to 657.
Okay, any other comments? I have one.
How did we happen to get the German plane visiting us?
That is a good question I asked because that came in over a weekend. So it wasn't here at the time that the Canadian Royal Air Force was here, because I thought maybe they were using that as the dogfight plane or the dogfight plane that they were training with. But it wasn't. It was just a random GA guy flying in. So it was kind of cool.
Okay, my only comment is weed control again. Keep bringing it up, and can we spray the weeds? And the question of the day is, since it's not getting done, and people are getting grass stains on their crops, et cetera, do you have any problem with some of the local residents taking some responsibility for that?
What area are you wanting?
Oh, like around the hangars and out on the main ramp. Taxiway Echo there has got weeds that were 2 feet high at one point. I mean, you know, just in along the curbs around the FBO, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, we did hit the curve along the apron and on the outside of the FBO. Just haven't gone up the taxiways. But, I mean, if you want to, I wouldn't see why a hangar owner couldn't spray some weeds around their hangar, because you're not, one, a city employee, but you are on city property, and I think that they're still working on that weed spray thing. Mike with the rec center is.
How long does that take? We've been asking that question for a year. I mean, obviously to spray the weeds would take one day and a tank full of weed killer, but question is, can we or can't we? And it seems like that's not a hard question to answer.
Well, right now it's a can't until the city council adopts the new weed spray control measures that the city is putting out. So until that happens, right now it's a no.
Okay.
I think that is correct. We could ask Mike Cavanaugh for an update for next month's meeting on just what the weed control ordinances are, draft of them, I guess you could say. So we give some idea.
Okay, well, we'll put the weeds on hold.
Put the weeds on hold.
Yeah.
Dang.
Another question is, there any plan to fill cracks in the pavement out there on the taxiway, especially you're in the hangar area? A couple people asked me about that.
Yeah. I got to check with the state because we're part of their pavement maintenance program. So I got to see if they're going to come back out and do anything. I know there'd be an assessment. I know that they have this, the state has switched to kind of more of like a round robin thing. So I got to ask when we're back on the list for them to come out and look at those.
Yeah, last time when a state guy was here, I think it was about 3-4 years ago, he said, I don't know if we do around hangars and taxiways or just main taxiways and runways. He didn't know the answer. And obviously the answer was they didn't because they didn't.
I think there would have to be some definition, of course, you know, like non-movement, movement areas, what that, you know, entails. I did send an email in because I had a hangar tenant ask me about the apron in front of their hangar. I did send an email into administration with that question, who is responsible for that portion, the apron from the hangar onto the taxi lane. And I have not heard back from legal on that.
Yeah, I don't think that's a hard question. The answer is the city, because that's turned over to the city after construction, and your hangar lease only encompasses the footprint of the hangar. I don't think there's any question about that.
Lance, but back to the weed control for a minute. Have you in the past had part-time workers in the summer to help get the mowing done? Or has it all been on the Air Force?
No, it's all been on airport staff. I was at one point in time able to get the work crew up to help with that, but I don't rank high enough on their list of areas to go.
Work crew from?
The jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the issue is the mode of which we're going to remove the weeds. We have 25 people who go to barbecues that would love to help clean this place up, and we're not sure how to do that. And we don't want to do anything that's jeopardizing to any person or the city. So that's the issue.
Maybe you'll be on the work crew here pretty soon, Mark. You and I will be on the work crew, and we can volunteer to go to the airport.
We'll take care of it.
Okay, any other comments? Dan.
Yeah, and this maybe isn't the right place, but I do have a couple of comments or questions more than anything, maybe directed more to Lance, just on, I know that we started on the North End project as far as kind of getting a rough draft and a drawing. Is there anything we can do to move that along, or is there no federal money to help with taxiways, or are we just kind of, we drew it up and that's going to be kind of where it dies?
It's as long as we can get it reflected through a pen and ink on the ALP, then we can start getting money for it. If there's federal money available for taxiways, which they would not consider that a taxiway, that would be a taxi lane. So that would be something that the developer would have to put in.
So we don't have any way to get a taxiway from the runway to that area where the buildings would go?
Not unless the city wants to pay for it or their developer does. Or by some miracle, the FAA decides they're going to fund it.
Is there any way that we can ask the FAA? Because otherwise, that'll never develop. I mean, I don't know. Do you see the city ever developing that or coming up with the funding to do that? Or I don't see an individual because it's you know, I know what it costs to do that little chunk of taxiway and, you know, or apron in front of my building, and that's not done at the level that a taxiway would require for the weights and all the different things. So
right, again, that's it's not a taxiway, it's a taxi lane. It's completely different. A taxiway gets you to it's a movement area that gets you to the runway ends. The taxi lanes go into the buildings. So currently, the FAA did, well, actually, the FAA did put in all of that taxi lane over there when they did the box hangar developments and the T hangars that was built with that federal money. They haven't built anything like that since those were built. And I don't know when the FAA would open that up. That would have to be something that would come down through the AIP program. I mean, I do have a CIP sheet up right now in front of the FAA to see if I can get some type of T-hangers built, which if I can get that accepted, I'm going to put it on the north end is where I would like to place it, because then they would put the taxi lane in. But don't know.
Okay, yeah, it just seemed like it just kind of fell through there and was going to never become anything, so I just wanted to kind of follow up. The other question I had that I know has been a problem since the beginning of my time here is the water flow. Is anything, when you look at me like that, I don't believe that we are permitted to do commercial operations in any of those hangars. We can't bring in another FBO, and I was told that by the fire marshal, because we have just barely enough water flow for the airport to qualify as storage, but that doesn't do maintenance, repair, operations, and such as that, other than what is outlined in our lease directly. But it keeps us from being able to run any of those as an FBO or be able to even look at that. The only building that grandfathers, according to the fire department, is the building that you're in.
That's correct. So any new construction, you would have to have, you can do a commercial, but you'd have to put in a fire suppressant system, which you clearly don't want to do. So for that reason, a developer who wants to build an FBO of a commercial would need to put in a fire suppressant system along with any other new regulations that are put out by the state for that size of commercial building.
I think the bigger issue here, Dan, is we really need to get the city to get city water down to the airport. That is something that we've been working on for, I don't know, Ralph, 15 years. That would alleviate most of these concerns that you have. So that's where we need to focus on our friends at the city council. And
I'm not sure that's a correct statement. I don't know that just hooking up to the city water solves the problem. It's the infrastructure that's carrying it as well as the city water. And of course, now to make the fire requirements, they count on the fact of Seal Rock and the city of Newport Water being both connected, I believe, to meet those fire requirements. So I'm not sure just saying hooking up the city water solves the problem.
Yeah, Chief Murphy didn't mention the fact of, oh, by the way, when we get both water systems in place, you're gonna be okay. We have city water at the airport now?
You have city water out to the block building by the fire entrance
right
there.
And the
I think
building.
Part of the flow requirement check, and I don't wanna sound like Rob Murphy here, he knows a whole lot more about this than I do or other people, but I believe to meet the flow requirements in emergency, the idea was they'd turn on both systems.
You have to turn on the pump station that was put out by the ARF, and the other downfall to that is that you would have to purchase all of that from Seal Rock Water before you can do anything to their system.
Well, regardless, what we have now inhibits commercial development. That's the issue.
I agree, and it's been the issue we've made some headway because at least we can build storage buildings, but it ties us into your building being the only building
that
can ever be.
Well, my question would be, for permitting, aren't you under a commercial review for permitting?
I believe it's a commercial structure, but it's only allowable as a storage structure, so it'd be no different than any other commercial storage building, but we are not allowed to do what they consider hazardous operations, which would be the working on airplanes, the maintenance end of it, anything that they deem hazardous, and there's a whole list of that stuff because we just don't have quite enough water flow to do that.
I think that's a question we need a definitive answer to.
Yeah, I was going to say, could the committee get some really hard answers, perhaps from Derek Tokos?
Well, that would be the fire, because that's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done this exercise in the past, and I can bring that back up to you, but for a commercial building of a certain size, you would need to have a fire suppressant system put into it for the type of hazardous materials that you're looking at doing.
It's a commercial building of any size, not if you, even a storage, if it's over a certain size, and I think it's 8,000 feet, then it's required to be sprinkled. But if you wanted to build an FBO that was 2,500 feet, you would not be allowed to do those activities. Even though it falls under the square footage requirement, we don't meet the water flow requirement to do hazardous operations. That's how I understand it.
Could we get clarification on that from
Sure.
Derek and whoever else? And Rob Murphy also. Yeah, I've been hearing and reading about the fire flow issue for years, and I mean, I don't have a good understanding of it. You guys know, but I could certainly use the education on that.
Well, of course, we waited for years to get enough just to be able to build anything. Mm-hmm. That only happened mm-hmm. A year and a half ago or mm-hmm. whatever, maybe 2 years ago. So that was taken care of. But as Dan brings up, a commercial operation, you know, where you're going to do maintenance or whatever, that may put us in a different
a different category of need for the fire flow, right?
Which would be interesting, because I wonder if that would also affect anything potentially going to be built on the front side too.
It does. Yes.
It seems like a good thing to move forward on, especially since there are all the infrastructure grants out there now, and I think the government's looking for places to put money just for this kind of thing.
Okay, I will see what the requirements are for, I guess, Dan McCree to open an FBO.
Well, I don't think I'm going to open an FBO at this point, but I've had people inquire into that, and my answer is always there's one building it can be in, and unless Lifelight ever moves, that building's never going to be available, so then we can just never have one, is how, at this point, I understand it.
Well, in the bigger picture, Dan, is that's one of the major goals that of this committee that we've established years and years ago, was to develop the commercial side of the airport for revenue for the city. We understand that it's, you know, $300,000+ to keep this thing going. And so the airport committee has been burdened with the task of trying to reduce that amount. If we come up against roadblocks, mm-hmm. for example, water flow, not having enough water down there to develop commercial construction, it's very difficult to alleviate that financial burden to the city. That's why it's so important to keep on this water
keep
issue.
On it. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the other committees I'm on is the housing analysis and the strategy for building in Newport. And it's really been an education to me to see how little buildable land Newport really has. There are so many constraints on where you can build, and places which look so buildable, they don't have infrastructure close by. And just to have a one pump station built, it's about $3 million. So there's funding is critical, but if you have a plan, then you can apply for funding. So it seems like more plan out there, but you know, if you're
of course the other half
you're the
of
committee.
That is, the other half of that is wastewater too, because mm-hmm. as you know, that's a problem, and it's not just a problem for the airport, but that whole area out there, part of which isn't even in the city,
so it
needs to be addressed also. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's, nothing else?
That's all I have on this. I do have two items that are personal items to me, and I can either go sit over there and bring them up, or if we need be, I can put them on the next agenda. They're pretty simple stuff.
We have time.
Go ahead.
Should I go over there? Can I do it from here?
I would suggest that you sit down there if it's a personal item.
Why does that make a difference?
Just because of conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm. It's just a quick question, and it may have nothing to do. It may not.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So... Well, no, it's Well, we'll just, I'll throw it out there, and if you want me to move it on to the, is this on? It's just on all the time, huh? That's even better. So at my hangar, a request that I have is there is another hangar out there that has just a holding tank for the restroom facility, and then they have that pumped, or at least that was the intention. I don't know if they ever got that project done. And this might be a better question for Lance. Is there, if I apply for that, is there any, do you see any problem with putting a tank in behind the, or, you know, underground tank, holding tank behind the hangar?
As long as it doesn't restrict access to any other of the hangars, I mean, I don't think so. The permitting for septic is done through the county, so I'm not 100% sure how that might work. I know the one hangar out there does have the holding tank, and I'm not saying you can't do it, but I would just want to double check with the permitting process. So yeah. I don't see an issue. I don't know of one, but I don't know when, you know, that hangar was put in forever long ago, but the county does handle the septic permitting.
Yeah, and I have all the permits. I just felt like I need to, you know, keep the cart, you know, keep it all in the right order. And I feel like that if we're going to make a change there, that I need to bring it to you guys, maybe, or at least you, and see what your thoughts are. And if anybody else had a thought on it, that.
Well, I think that would be a question for the committee about a septic tank for, or a holding tank.
Just a holding tank. We're not, yeah, not a drain field. We'll just have it pumped. And like I said, there is an existing one there.
I can say I don't have any problem with it, but is a holding tank even considered a septic system per the county regulations? I don't know.
There is a permitting process for it. I have all that. So I would go through the permitting process to do it.
I remember hearing Derek Tokos talk about, now I don't know what the exact name of it is, but like a smaller sewage system for the whole airport, like just for the airport, since there's nothing else out there to make the infrastructure. Do you know what the correct word is?
It's called a community septic.
Community septic?
Yeah, Derek talked about that about a year ago. I mean, mm-hmm. it's the discussion was based on, you know, running the sewer system up the hill mm-hmm. versus doing something like that. And unless you get the communities across the street involved, then that's probably a right. viable option. But in the short, that's a ways down a road. And Dan wants to do something in the meantime. You certainly mm-hmm. got to wait yeah. for that. That's all.
Something yeah, I would encourage yeah. you to go ahead and follow yeah. through, Dan. And maybe you could get a hold of your neighbors to pitch in for some of the cost. But if you're asking us for green light, man, go for it.
Okay, that's question one. Question two, and again, if I need to bring this up on the next agenda, that's fine. To the east of me is that vacant land. I would like to, and again, I want to kind of run this by Lance too. I would like to lease, add some of that to my lease. For two reasons. Reason one is I do have some aircraft recovery trailers and stuff that we used in the business over the years. I would like to lease the ground to be able to park those there. That's thing one. Thing two is I was a little bit short-sighted when I built that hangar. The problem with that hangar being right by that airport movement area is when you open the door and pull the plane out, you're in the airport movement area. And I would prefer, if I was able to lease that, I could open that door and pull the airplane around the side of the building and not be in that airport movement area, which obviously I could do now, but I don't want to pave and put all that expense into something if I don't hold the lease on it.
Are you talking about the area just to the east of your hand?
Just to the east of me, yeah. And I don't want all of it, but I want to, you know, enough to be able to go in and do that and pull the airplane back around on there and put those trailers there if I'm going to go in and do the spend the expense. And I don't know what Lance's feelings are on that either.
But well, I think that if you're inside and you're parking trailers and stuff in there, you know, the committee has told me several times that trailers need to be parked in long-term parking. So I think if you're going to build a pad there to put a plane on, that should be sufficient. But if you're looking for a place to park those trailers, you might need to go over to the long-term parking.
Which is?
By the box hangers.
Along the fence. Over.
Along the fence, okay.
I mean, I have no problem with what you park on it if you're leasing the land. And if it's, you know, aviation related, like everything else on the airport has to be aviation related, like the use of the hangars. So a trailer that's used for moving aircraft or aircraft parts, I personally don't see a problem with that. But
maybe, Dan, the thing to do is just to maybe at the next meeting have a map. Have a map, kind of just a rough draft map, so we can take a look and see exactly what you want. And you would just include that into your land, your original land lease, correct?
That would be my, yeah, or they can write a separate one if they like. Either, however, whatever's easier. It doesn't make any difference to me. It just was a question, and I thought, well, because there are other trailers that are parked out there that are not in, you know, there's been the one parked in front of the box hangar since I've been going there. If it's a big deal, it's not a big deal to me. I've got several acres at home. I just leave them where they are. But it's more convenient for me if they're there. But I can bring it up at the next meeting as well, and I can do that for you. I think that's fine.
We were just talking about revenue to the city. It's just a little bit more revenue to the city, so let's do it, you know.
I'd put a formal request in to lease, you know, 1,000 square feet or whatever it is out there you're looking for, and for use aviation-related accessory storage.
Okay. And do you want me to do that for the next meeting? Is that?
That's up to you.
Or do you want me to request that now?
As far as I care.
Would probably suggest the next meeting, just for clarity's sake on the agenda.
Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, I mean, you can use that area, correct? It's not like we're kicking you off that area, so don't put your hammer on that area. I mean, there hasn't been any current issues with that space now, correct?
There hasn't been a current issue with me pulling the airplane around the side because it's such a short term. I open the door, I move the airplane around the side, then I go fly the airplane, you know.
If you acquired that property, you'd end up paving it?
That I think that would be the ultimate goal, would be to get that, you know, cleaned up and smoothed up and where it's more usable than what it is now.
Right, it's too small to build another hangar there. So I don't know why we wouldn't lease it to you.
Okay. I will, I'll bring it up at next meeting. I'll put it on the agenda, and then if that's the way we need to do that, I'm fine with that. It was just a question. That's all I got.
Okay, does anybody have anything else? Jim?
Back on the hangar site leases that we had, was handed out at our July meeting. Number 9 in here, and maybe we made a correction. I hope we have. Number 9 in this lease says use of lease premises. It's limited to aeronautical use, period. That's the way it reads. Have we made a change to that, I hope?
I don't know. I don't believe we've ever seen a final version of that. As you know, I made a bunch of comments, and some other people made some comments, and I don't think we ever got a final version back on that, did we, Lance?
No, we didn't.
I sent the email off to David Allen on that request for 9. I haven't heard anything back from him. I thought he was going to give you a call and talk to you on some items, though, because he was supposed to be here at this meeting today, but he couldn't make it.
All right, well, we maybe need to go over that again on the next meeting, making an agenda item and bring a revised, new and improved version. Anything else? I think we're done. Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.